Thank you, Linda. That's an extraordinary passage of Scripture, and I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever in your life received a timely word of encouragement from somebody when you were down in the dumps? Where somebody broke into your life at just the right moment with just the right words that gave you hope, strength, encouragement to hold on when it looked like everything was collapsing around you? Have you ever had that experience?
Thank you again.
Amen. Amen. And I think all of us have been there one time or the other. The interesting thing that I have noted in the gospel accounts is that even after Jesus is resurrected from the grave, he remains a period of time on earth where he's still encouraging his disciples and the people around him. Because he says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, which means the Spirit of Christ, of God, is still with us, encouraging us today. Friends, we all need encouragement. I saw a cartoon not too long ago of a father sitting with his little son on his knee, and he was wiping the tears away from his little son's cheeks. Apparently, his son had broke a neighbor's window with a rock. And the father gently tells the son, Billy, just because King David used a slingshot doesn't mean it's okay. Comforting his son. The encouraging words of a daddy to his child. And let's face it, whether it's a movie or a play, how many like going to plays and seeing the performing arts, or reading a good novel? I think we all like happy endings, don't we? I do. I like when a book keeps me on edge, and that at the end, everything works out. Everything's going to be okay. I want to share with you a funny story, and maybe some of you younger folks, I don't know if this is working or not. There you go. Now, those are names that probably to you younger folks, if you're under 40, you may not have ever heard of Sam Goldwyn or Billy Wilder, but in the heyday of Hollywood, these were the guys that made the Academy Award movies that we all loved. Errol Flynn. I mean, I know that's a blast from the past, but I still like black and white movies, so maybe I'll never come out of that. But it's an interesting story, and I read this, and I want to share it with you. Sam Goldwyn was the premier producer of movies in Hollywood in that golden era. And he once listened to the famous producer, who was famous himself, Billy Wilder, describe a true story about a famous artist. And Wilder thought it would make a great movie if they just put their heads together. And all Goldwyn wanted to know is, Billy, does it have a happy ending? Billy Wilder says, well, it winds up with a guy who is an artist, and he winds up in an insane asylum thinking he's a horse. And with that, Goldwyn threw Wilder out of the office. Billy Wilder wasn't discouraged. He poked his head back into Goldwyn's office, and he said, okay, what if in the end the guy who thinks he's a horse goes on to win the Kentucky Derby? And Sam Goldwyn got up and slammed the door in Billy's face. We all like happy endings. And I thought Billy Wilder was one of the best guys out there in putting those movies together that I watched as a young child. Why shouldn't we desire a world of love and peace and harmony and compassion for one another? Why not? Why not desire that? In spite of the craziness that we watch on a daily basis, if you turn on the news and now we get it fed 24 hours a day, it seems like there's so much negativity out there. But we, as believers in Christ, the resurrected one that the choir just sang about, why can't we desire a world that's filled with hope and love and peace and harmony and good things? Unfortunately, reality isn't quite like that all the time, is it? We're not always dealt a hand that's the best. Life doesn't always turn out fair, and I know that from personal experience, but we still dream for a better world. I know I do. And we call on God to help accomplish that better world. And so the Apostle Paul, not just here, but in other epistles that he's responsible for in the New Testament, he held such hopes and dreams, not only for his generation, but for generations to come. Remember, this is written a couple of thousand years ago. And he says it can become a reality if we pattern our life according to Jesus Christ. I love that. And so what does he say? I'll put it back up there again. Or I'll try to put it back. There you go. It says, he goes on to say, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. In other words, if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you claim Jesus as your Lord, if any comfort from Jesus' love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of self-ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, meaning self-centered and selfishness, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, that Paul begins with Jesus, and he ends with Jesus, actually. This scripture that was read by Linda, and maybe I need a new battery in this thing. But he begins with Christ, and as you see on the screen there, and he's saying, if you have ever found Christ's support in an hour of need, if he ever refreshed your spirit and given you the ability to hold on when it seems like everything was collapsing around you and you were just ready to give up on life, then make my joy complete and be like-minded. Paul is saying if you've ever felt Christ in that moment of insecurity and desperation and hopelessness and pain and suffering, where it goes so deep down to the soul that people around you don't even realize you're walking that journey. If you've ever felt that comfort, then make my joy complete, Paul says, and be like-minded. And so the words that Paul uses in the original Greek, he describes a picture of Jesus coming and standing alongside us. I know we can't see Jesus, but his spirit is here with us even now. The world might say it's foolishness, but I'll be a fool for Christ any day. Let them say what they wish. But Paul's using a word that describes Jesus standing next to us to comfort us, to console us, and to encourage us as only he can when we're desperate. Have you ever been desperate in your life? Yeah, there's three of us in church this morning who say yes. Have you ever been desperate in your life? Well, you just felt like, man, my whole world is collapsing around me. Think about this. Can you picture Jesus coming alongside you when you're feeling all alone? Can you picture him right next to you when you don't know where else to turn because you've tried everything? You even tried watching Dr. Phil. And it didn't work. And I like Dr. Phil. Jesus, the great provider and the great encourager, right there at your side. Now, I want to share a little story with you. It's comical, but I hope it makes a point. Sometimes I put illustrations in my sermon, and people are scratching their heads saying, I don't know why he even put that in his sermon. But anybody know who that is? Michael Jordan, yes. Perhaps the greatest basketball player who ever lived. Now, my favorite basketball player of all time was Elgin Baylor. Oh, I got one fist pump. He was my favorite ball player of all time. But a lot of people believe this man, Michael Jordan, what a great ball player he was, of no doubt. He once scored 69 points in a single game while playing as a Chicago Bulls. Now, I want to tell you something. That's incredible. You know why? There's some NBA teams who can't score 69 points as a team. the entire game. So one of his teammates, listen to this. I found this story incredible. One of his teammates who only scored one free throw point in the entire game that Michael scored 69 points was asked by a sports commentator about what was his most memorable experience that year when he played for the Chicago Bulls. And this was his answer. I'll never forget the night me and Michael scored 70 points. You see, he didn't mind leading on Michael to win the game. He wasn't embarrassed that he scored one. He said, you know, me and Michael scored 70 points. We won the game that night. He was encouraged by his teammates' performance and ability. But as good as Michael Jordan was to lean on as a teammate, and let me tell you, they certainly did, we have someone even greater than Michael Jordan to lean on to have the victory, and his name is Jesus. Do you believe that? I do. And so I was looking at Proverbs, and Proverbs number chapter 3, verse 5, 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make that crooked path of your life that you might be experiencing right now, he'll make it straight. When life seems like this, and it's out of control, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't walk it alone. Trust in him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he'll make your path straight. We must learn to trust in the Lord. It's just that simple. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations when the encouragement of Jesus got me through some tight spots in my life. And I could stand here and give you testimonies until you guys will say, I'm never coming back to this church again. Because it's 9 o'clock at night and he's still going. He's got me out of some tight spots in my life. And I acknowledge it. And so, when we find encouragement in Christ, we ought to be an encourager to others. I think that's what Paul is saying. Listen, if you've been in that tight spot in your life and you felt the Lord come up alongside of you to help get you through that tough place that you were in, then be an encourager to others who might need to be encouraged. That is what our Lord expects of us if we claim to be a follower of his. Anybody, listen to me, folks, and I know it's not us, it's the Lutherans. I know that. And my Lutheran pastor friend allows me to use him as an example. How many were here on the Thanksgiving service? You remember when he stood up? We have that. We got that thing going on that he allows me to do this as a joke. But I'm not blaming the Lutherans. But I'm saying anybody could be hurtful and condemning and critical and insulting and cutting. Anybody could do that. It doesn't take a lot of effort to cut somebody down with our tongue rather than building them up. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. You see, what should be coming out of our mouths as believers in Christ, that's part of our witness, is encouraging words, not words that cut people down. Folks, when you're ready to unload on somebody, count to 10, maybe 1,000 if you have to. Don't let it go. When you're ready to push that key on the computer and send that nasty email or text, stop. Put it down. Don't move. Please, don't move. Don't send it. Trust me. I've sent those. I've said those. Don't do it. It only will bring pain to you and collateral damage to everybody around you. You see, in our text this morning, Paul is not counseling the church to simply be nice to one another. He knew that being nice was superficial. It wasn't deep. And being nice to one another sort of withers and dies. It's a Band-Aid approach. Paul longed for the Philippians and for us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts so that with Christ inside of us, we can really make a difference in our world, starting in our homes, I would hope. And so, let's agree to use all of our energy, he says in Romans, in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. Folks, I can find fault in every single one of you. And here's the sad news. You can find fault in me too. That's easy to do. Anybody could do that. But I'll tell you, if Jesus has brought you any encouragement, any love, any affection, any compassion, any sympathy, then pass that encouragement and compassion and love and affection, pass it on to the people around you, that they might see the Christ in you and me. If there's any place where the ministry of encouragement should be flowing and vibrant and strong, it should be in the body of Christ. This is where it should happen, so that when we leave the mission to the mission field, and by the way, the mission field doesn't have to be in some far-off place. The mission field is right outside the doors of this church. I was watching a TV program recently on TBN, and they were interviewing couples who are married more than 50 years. And the person that was interviewing these couples asked the husband, you know, what makes your marriage so successful after all these years? Your wife looks pretty happy. And this is what he said. And I got up and I wrote it down on my wife keeps a pad next to her bed. I try to memorize it in the morning. I can't even remember my name. But this is what the husband said. Over 50 years, I've tried to say something nice and encouraging to my wife every single day. I've tried to say something nice and encouraging to my wife every single day. Wow, I thought that was pretty interesting. And you know what I thought? We all need to hear encouraging words on a regular basis, don't we? Don't we need to be lifted up? The world will knock us down enough on its own. But certainly, we all need to be encouraged. Now, I want to... here we go. If we found encouragement through Christ, we need to share. And I want to share a story with you, another story. I read this story where a man was contemplating suicide. That's a serious problem in our society today, friends. He was depressed. He was lonely. He was afraid of the future. And listen, it might sound silly, but this is what he was feeling. He decided to walk down the street where he lived. And this is what he said. If I pass just one person who smiles at me and who's friendly, I won't take my life. So here's my question. What if he passed you that day? What would have been the outcome? What if you too had crossed paths? And he was looking for that face, that smile, that friendliness, that hope in another human being. What would have been the outcome? He would have lived. Amen. That's what I want to hear. I love help, so help me in my messages. But Lord knows the world needs more encouragers, friends. Remember, though, we cannot be a true encourager on our own. Paul writes, your attitude should be the same of Jesus Christ. Remember, he begins and he ends with Jesus. We encourage others because Christ encouraged us. He lives in us, and the life we live is not our own, but it belongs to him. And I want to tell you, the need for encouragement, whether we receive it or give it away, it never ends. From the cradle to the grave, God mandates that every Christian should be giving away the gift of encouragement. Every human soul requires it for our survival. That's the kind of love God calls us to. A Christ-like love that is present and real, that encourages other people when they're just about ready to give up. Hold on. Don't give up. There's hope. Why? Because he encourages us, we in turn need to share it with others. And so, I believe that statement that's up there, a little encouragement will go a long way. And we're called to be givers of that gift. Amen?
Amen,
Amen, church. I just want to pray. I pray, Lord God, that today, if there's anybody in this sanctuary who needs a word of encouragement and hope, that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. I would imagine in our church today there are some discouraged people, maybe over an illness or a relationship or a financial strain, or, it could be a plethora of reasons. And I just pray, Lord God, that through your Holy Spirit, you would encourage those this morning who need to be lifted up above their circumstances and to realize that there's hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.